It's a discussion that most people avoid, end-of-life planning. Doctors say it's important to have these conversations while you're still able. But let's face it, talking about advance directives can be uncomfortable, even terrifying. So we wondered, how do doctors tackle the subject with their own families? KULW's Ruby DeLuna has the final story in our series, Vital Talk.
More often, a medical crisis forces families to talk about their loved one's wishes. It's a situation that Dr. Joanne Roberts has seen many times.
In the hospital, the typical situation is someone has had a stroke. The caregivers who live near their parents are here at the hospital. The kids who live out of town fly in. Everybody's at the bedside, and they're arguing over what did mom hope for? How did mom want to live the rest of her life? Well, she never talked to us about that.
Roberts is chief medical officer at Providence Medical Center in Everett. Previously, she practiced hospice and palliative care medicine. During our conversation, she hands me a business card. There are three questions printed on the back.
Tell me what you hope for. And tell me what you're afraid of. And tell me how you want to live the rest of your life. Just imagine that. What kind of conversation that would be.
Roberts says it's her dream that doctors and patients will have conversations around these questions. The goal is to encourage people to make a plan for end-of-life care and to share those plans with their families and doctors. To that end, the state hospital and medical associations have started a campaign called Honoring Choices. Its website offers resources and a kit for opening the dialogue. Roberts understands it's tough to have these conversations. She knows from experience. Her own mother made her wishes very clear early on.
I can give you the exact words. I don't want to live on no damn machine.
But Roberts, who was in her early 20s at the time, didn't want to hear it.
She used to drive me crazy talking about this stuff, and I hated it.
Yet the message stuck with her. Years later, her mother was in the hospital. She had heart failure.
She was 80, and she was clearly dying. And one day in comes a surgeon to her room in the hospital and said, gosh, we could put in one of those devices to make your heart beat stronger.
Her mother mentioned this to Roberts.
She started saying, well, maybe I should do that. By having talked to me in years past, I was able to say, well, Mom, does that fit what you had told me over all these years? And she just reflected and said, well, no, it doesn't at all. Of course not. And it really helped her to make a decision. And she died a couple of days later.
Robert says knowing her mother's wishes early on gave her peace of mind. She now has started a conversation with her children. Her older daughter, who's in her early 20s, is not eager about it. Roberts chuckles. She's reacting the same way she did with her mother.
Sounds good. I'm just going in.
On the ninth floor at Harborview Medical Center, Dr. Randall Curtis is about to check on a patient in the trauma care unit. He says advances in medicine have helped keep people alive longer. Often that results in a good quality of life, but sometimes not.
And that's where we've sort of had this realization that, you know what, just because we can doesn't mean we always should. And that's where we have to find out what's important to the patient and their family, and make sure that the care we're providing is in line with that.
And what makes life worth living for one person can be entirely different for another.
Some patients would say, for me, quality of life is living independently in my own home, not having to rely on others, being able to get outdoors, to be able to walk in the woods. You know, without that, life's not worth living.
The only way to know is, you guessed it, to have a conversation. Curtis recalls trying to start that discussion with his parents, but it was hard.
My family likes to talk about good things. We like to talk about positive things.
His brother-in-law eventually nudged things along. Curtis says he was surprised to learn some things about his independent-minded parents.
I would have guessed that they wouldn't want to live in a nursing home if that's what was required. If that was the best case scenario, they wouldn't want to go through, for example, intensive care just to live in a nursing home.
But Curtis learned they were okay with living in a nursing home as long as they were able to communicate, recognize people, and enjoy life. He says the discussion was valuable. It gave him a better idea of what their wishes are if he ever needs to make those kinds of decisions.
But also in terms of, you know, not being in this position of having to feel tremendous burden and guilt about whether I'm making the right decision because I had the conversation and I know how they feel.
Curtis says these conversations don't have to be a one-time event, and it's okay to revisit the questions. And the conversations are happening among physicians too, says Dr. Joanne Roberts.
There's a time when we have to ask ourselves, are we prolonging someone's life or are we prolonging someone's death? Because folks, they often come into the hospital, they truly are at the end of their lives. And we can do things with our technology that can add days to that, but are we prolonging life or are we prolonging death?
And at some point, she says, all the technology in the world won't keep us from dying. I'm Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.